Hey everyone, Chris from the future, kind of. This recording of Hannah Fong, this podcast that we did, actually happened way back in July of 2023. But Hannah is so delightful, and it just was a matter of me getting this out. So posting it now, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Hannah. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Iowa Gravel Series Podium Podcast. My name is Chris McQueen. I am your host, and we are so very grateful to have Hannah Fong here with us from, I guess, Hannah, you're in Omaha, right?
Yes. Yeah. I live in Omaha now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get into that more, a little bit more, but Hannah was one of the female podium winners at Silver City this year. And I think this was your second race ever on the Iowa Gravel Series.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So Hannah's a little kind of new, but also has a little bit of experience on the Gravel Series. And in fact, she's even a little bit of a poster child for it. And we'll get into that maybe a little bit later. But Hannah, thank you so much for your time and for joining us here on the podcast.
Oh. Thanks for having me.
So Hannah, let's get to know you a little bit. Just as we were kind of getting rolling and getting set up here, you mentioned that you're a teacher. So what do you teach?
I teach special education in Council Bluffs. Yeah.
Oh really? What ages?
Third, fourth, and fifth graders, and like students who I pull out resource. So I see kids in smaller groups throughout the day, and they're in with the regular teacher other parts of the day.
Awesome. So I mean that's great. You get to spend a little bit of time in Iowa, although you live in Omaha, right?
Yeah. It's real short. I live in Midtown area, and it's a short commute on a bike right to my school. So it's great.
Oh, really? So you commute on the bike during the summer, or?
Well, when I try and do it once a week at least, but it ideally would be more, but some, you know, mornings.
Yeah, no, I love bike commuting. It was something that I did. Now, it was very easy in a previous, we lived in California for a little bit. And so my bike commute was about an hour to work and back. And just having that opportunity, like it's a way less, or can be, I guess it depends on your route and everything. It's just a great way to decompress that doesn't feel like your regular commute, and you're kind of getting your workout in.
Yeah, so you always feel good afterwards, and I do feel, I live on top of a hill, so like it's great to get to work quick and then like to work out any frustrations on the way home.
Perfect. Well, cool. Well, tell me a little bit about tell me a little bit about how you got to Omaha and everything in your life. Did you grow up here? What'd you do for school? And what got you into special ed? I'm just curious about your personal life.
Oh, sure. So I grew up not far from, actually, I grew up cyclists in the area. No, I grew up in Mineola. So where the taco ride ends, well, not ends, but like the stopping point.
Where the tacos are.
Yeah, where the tacos are.
Toby Jack's, great place.
Yeah, Toby Jack's, where I grew up. And then special education. My dad is a teacher. Was a teacher. He's retired. Well, he's changed professions now. But my dad was a teacher and a coach. So I grew up, he taught and coached in Trainer, Iowa. And so I grew up always being at school and around school. So I fell into that love of teaching. And then my mom has a physical disability. And I grew up watching her do things differently, like do everything, but do it a little differently. Mm-hmm. And then when I figured out that like our brains work the same way, I wanted to get into that with teaching, like finding ways to get, I think every student can learn and it's just a different way. And so finding those ways to make things possible for them, I just really liked that. And I went to Central College in Pella, Iowa, and then applied all over and ended up back. ended up back in the area, and it's been good. And I'm starting my 10th year teaching.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So to kind of like, so that you know who you're talking to for me, and I'll manage for the rest of the audience as needed. But like, my background is in education. I design training for big companies and things. My wife, she's actually, she uses a wheelchair. She's done wheelchair racing, and she's a paraplegic from an accident in college. But what was the disability? What's the disability your mom has?
My mom has rheumatoid arthritis, very extensive erosive. So she got diagnosed when she was 20, and they've come a far way with medicine now. And so she probably wouldn't have, she's fairly advanced. So she has a lot of just the way she does things, her joints have deteriorated. But she's come a long way, and she's a really great never give up spirit. Actually, right after she got diagnosed, she did Bran, and that was her, her last time she rode a bike until she recently got a recumbent, and she's been back at it, and it's been awesome for her. But she did Bran once. She said, "I came in last place, but I finished."
That's so cool. I've got my son that's snuck into the room for the podcast. Watch it, Jacob. I'll put you on the podcast. Actually, there's a high likelihood that people will meet Jacob at any sort of race, because my family shows up to do, he'll do registration and things like that. So it's a family affair here. It's why I ask about your family. That's so cool that she did Bran and that she's now in a recumbent. This is one of the things that I love about cycling, and so much of what I love about gravel in this area is because gravel's everywhere. It's just the most accessible, I think, type of cycling that you can have, because you're really not limited. You've got more terrain in gravel than any other type of cycling in Iowa and Nebraska. So that's great. Is it a gravel recumbent?
No, she just does, and she doesn't ride it a lot, but it just to get back into the motion of getting it. Hers is just a regular recumbent. I don't
know. Yeah.
But she does short, flat distances, but
gotcha. Like the Wabash.
The Wabash, she really likes going around Lake Manawa, and then the spots in the Keystone Trail.
Perfect.
That's pretty much.
So is that how you got into cycling? Is this something that your family and you just kind of grew up around?
I grew up on the Wabash, so there was always cycling around. But I actually was more of a runner, and then I met my husband, my boyfriend. When he was my boyfriend, Gabe, I was like, "You'll have to come." He was a bike commuter in college, and I'm like, "Oh, you bike? You should where I grew up. I'll show it to you on the bike trail." And I had a garage sale mountain bike, and he had a nicer bike, I think a giant commuting bike. And I'm like, "How? What is this? The bikes are different." And that was in in 2020, and so since then I was I got my first road bike, and I it was a Specialized LA, and got it, and then quickly upgraded and kept upgrading, and then got into gravel and really enjoy gravel a lot, because there's so much around that you can do around, and seeing areas, different routes, and there's normally less traffic because it's beautiful, and where I am now.
That totally makes sense. And so what are some of, when you look for events or you look for a challenge or a goal? I mean, you've mentioned commuting, so that's that's always great. That's transportation. Sometimes commuting is also fitness, but I feel like there's a lot of different goals that people have with their cycling. So I'm curious about yours. How have you progressed through cycling in terms of going from that's led you to getting progressively, better or different equipment to fit what you're trying to do? What's that progression been like, and what do you look for now?
I have to say my husband loves bikes and things, so he's always trading and upgrading, and I wish I knew, I don't know, I should take more of an interest in it, but I just always am this is awesome, thanks.
So you've got an in-house mechanic and also an in-house kind of sommelier in terms of suggesting, hey, maybe you should try this, maybe you should try this, hey, if you're enjoying this, maybe you should try this.
Yes, exactly. And then I guess my personal goals, I'm trying to think how to put it all. So that helps. I don't the equipment wise. I say I want something, and he figures out a way to make it happen. He's like, "Oh,
that's a good husband."
Yes, it is. It's great in that way. and cycling progressed. I joined, there's two groups in Omaha that I'm kind of a part of. I'm part of Prairie Bloom Cycling Club for the women, and it's a great group in Omaha area, and they do rides, and so that has really the woman side of things.
Yeah, and that's huge shout out to Prairie Bloom and yes. Julie and Kamei yeah. and I'm missing some names and everything, but the Prairie Bloom folks are amazing.
Yeah, so that has helped a lot in like getting to ride with other women, and just like that's exciting. It's really exciting. And then also Gabe and I ride with a group called Omaha Metro Gravel on Wednesdays, and the routes just to see more of the area. It's about 30 miles on a Wednesday night and no drop ride, but there's definitely always some climbs. So I feel like that helps a lot in the training part and getting stronger.
That's Brandon Knickerbocker.
Yeah.
And who else?
Robbie.
We'll put it in the description. We'll make sure yes. he gets the proper shout out the OMG Omaha Metro Gravel. Yeah, Omaha Metro Gravel. OMG. They've got a great Strava group. They've got a great Instagram presence. That's very easy to pop in. Very friendly group. I've been on a few rides with them. I have other commitments often Wednesday, so it doesn't work for me all the time. But I they're great, and the routes are always super fun.
Yes. Yeah. The routes are great. They're great. No drop. I think they've helped a lot with my gravel riding, getting that confidence, just different people. Everyone's very kind, and it's a great starting point. I mean, the routes are still challenging, but but everyone's welcome. So
it's I don't think they shy away from anything, but I think they do I think Brandon and Rob do a good job of like getting you the distance, but also getting you going somewhere that's worth it, which sometimes entails a hill. Like if you want a good view, you got to go up a hill, right?
Yes. Rob's, when he makes his route, they always have, as he says, 50% of the time there's a hill, I think.
Yeah.
It's downhill 50% of the time, or that's something right. like that.
You know, in practice, right? You know, as much as you can. I think the math kind of works in his favor for that type of situation. But yeah, good point. Yeah. Well, so that's kind of like what you're doing now and kind of how you've progressed. What's kind of in the future? What are things that you're toying around with and thinking about doing more of?
I really like gravel. I like a lot more of it. Getting stronger, faster, more confident. I had a bad crash when I first started gravel riding, and it's just like getting the confidence back. We did the Lois Hills route. Like my first time out, and I crashed in the Canyon Valley.
But
it was a learning. I learned that you take in the road, your line before the view.
Which is hard. The Les Hills Enduro Raffle. I'm gonna butcher Raffle's last name if I try it. So you know, they put on a great event, usually kind of in the spring, or so. And they start out of Malvern, and then Glenwood Gravel kind of runs almost perpendicular to it. And that's one of the Iowa Gravel Series races in the fall. So, are you going to try again for hitting some of those Class B roads here at Glenwood?
Yeah. We hope to, we are last minute planners, but Glenwood's definitely on the list. We did it last year. I did the 50, but it was the very wet and muddy. It was a experience.
Jeez, that was, and I guess that'll be a good transition. But yeah, that was usually Glenwood is in the fall, just almost guaranteed to be beautiful. Like that time doesn't usually get a lot of rain. But this last year, we definitely got rain, and it was rainy throughout the whole event, which that's gravel, right? Like I mean, hopefully I didn't send you down too crazy of a thing, but I do know we've got, I think, an amazing picture of you on one of the hills that made it into some of our promotional material this last year. So there I put together a postcard to send to everybody and kind of announce, hey, here are the dates and everything for the series. I'm guessing you got one of those.
Yeah, it was actually, I had a friend who's like, and we've friend from childhood, and she like sent me a picture because her husband races. She goes, "You're famous." Yeah. So before I got it, I'm like, "What? That's me."
I did not ask you your permission. That is true. Okay. So at this point, do I need to ask forgiveness, or was that okay?
It's fine. Yeah, it's on the fridge still, so it's fine. It was a fun little like, "Hey, that's me."
Well, I think it really captured kind of, you know, there's some messiness to gravel. Like you said, you know, falls can happen, but, you know, we get back up and sometimes days are not dry. And so that I thought it was a good photo just, and really what it was, and hopefully Gabe does not, you know, get after me for this, but frankly, you just have an amazing smile and you look like you're having a lot of fun. So I thought it would be
a fun day. And I only did the 50K, not the 100K that time. Just getting into it. And like that day, I was very thankful for that, getting that experience. But so it was just a fun ride. And I think most of the girls who did the 50, the women who did the 50, we all like rode together. And it was just we like got through it. It was really fun.
Oh, very cool. So tell me a little bit about, yeah, like your, like when you're going out and when you sign up for an event, and you're racing. I mean, you got on the podium at Silver City. There's a little bit of like, you know, we're still small grassroots gravel. So like we don't unfortunately seem to have like a huge women's field at this point. That's something that, you know, certainly would love to see. I personally believe that gravel should look like any large group of people, you know, mm-hmm. It should just be as diverse as possible. There's no reason that the gravel can't be accessible to everybody. But did you were you going out at Silver City here at the beginning in May? Were you going out to win? Did you have aspirations, or was that a bit of surprise?
A little bit of surprise, because I just go for the experience, the training. I enjoy the whole thing, so the podium was bonus. I think it also speaks to like women's gravel is small right now. Like there's not, it's like not a lot of women participate. In general. And so it's growing. So I just encourage more women to join too, because it is a lot of fun and it's a good challenge. And, but my goal was, I didn't realize the podium. And then I was like counting. I'm like, I think I could do this. and so at every rest of them, I'm like, how many women were ahead of me? Just Kimai? Okay. Yeah, I can. Just Kimai? Okay. I can do this.
Which I realize I actually need to adjust something on our standings, because I think I have you first, and I know Kimai what did come in first and you came second.
That what happened was I grabbed Gabe and I's numbers and we switched.
That's what it is. So. Okay, so I think I need to do some record keeping. Yeah, we'll chat about that afterwards.
It's my fault. Yeah.
No, and I should have reached out to fix it. It's one of the things that is, you know, there's so many moving parts to putting on an event and everything, and I try very hard to make it a good experience, but that does mean that sometimes like record keeping isn't perfect and announcements don't go out at like, you know, an automated time or whatever. I don't have everything dialed in, so. I appreciate the patience that the gravel community has for me as a director as I try to figure this out. You know, this is barely a part-time gig. It's not. It's definitely not my full-time job. So, well, we'll get that figured out. Yes. So I guess going through that experience and where you like, how did that feel to kind of see like, oh wow, I could get on the podium. Like, well, you sound like that was exciting. It sounded like.
It was exciting. It also was like, oh man, I can't take the silver. I can't take the Wabash cutout now on that last part. but no, it was exciting. And I feel like, because I do most of my riding with Gabe in a group, I think it's racing gives you a chance to like compete against yourself and see what you can do alone. Because you know, there's support around like how sometimes going out on gravel as a woman sometimes can be intimidating alone. So being able to have, so I always go in training with people, but the race is like there's safety. And then there's also like the internal chance to like see what I can do and see like how my confidence grows. And yeah. And descending is something that after a fall coming back from it and just like the confidence that grows, the more that you do too. So like, as I felt my confidence growing as the race went on, like, okay, you're going to descend faster this time. And just,
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it's kind of that gift of competition. I'm not a huge, like, I don't have like a huge competitive edge on me. I think it's probably just because I'm like small, you know, I'm medium sized and I'm mediocre in most areas and everything. So for me, competition has always been very much individual, but it sounds like this, you know, really brought out some, you know, knowing that you were there, it brought out, gave you an opportunity to try your best and really push. So, I mean, that, I think that's just a great thing for, you know, becoming a better human sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah. It was good to push yourself. And it just, I felt like confidence as a cyclist a lot grow as through the process.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you know, given that, you know, Gabe's a bit of your mechanic and you've got some support there and everything. So it sounds like you're well supported. You got Prairie Bloom and OMG, you've got a good network and everything. And you're going to races and you're seeing different things in the area. I'm curious, if we were to hand Hannah like a magic wand and you could kind of like just do whatever you wanted to, this could be equipment, this could be culture, this could be routes, this could be terrain, anything. Like, imagine you could just fix anything that kind of niggles or nags at you. What is something that you think you would want to see happen in gravel to if you had that magic wand?
Good question. Well, I think part of it, I mean, always better equipment would be great. And the best bike's the one that you don't, is the next bike, right?
Yeah, there you go. You are a true, yeah, you get this.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that. And I mean, I don't even know all the options that could be. But I think overall, I think having more women in it, having more, like, it's growing. And I really appreciate Prairie Bloom for that community growing, especially in Omaha. I feel like it's such a gift. I don't know, having not been other areas, but I think it's a really cool opportunity. And we have a ride supposed to happen tonight, and just, it's fun to see how different people come and hear their stories. So just always growing the women in cycling. And I don't know, gravel, I mean, perfect route. I mean, I love a hard climb with, like, if I could just get like a negative two for like hours. Oh, yeah. You know, just like when you feel like you're flying, like they're rewarding.
I hate to shamelessly like, it's hard, like I want to talk, the gravel series is my baby in a lot of ways, so I tend to talk about it, but I will say that generally, not on rainy crazy years, that is how Glenwood works, where you've got kind of a nice steep hill and then it's a long downhill. You know, rainy seasons withstanding because of, you know, adjustments to the route and stuff. So I hope you come back on that, because I agree. That's the best.
Yes. So you feel like you're flying and it just feels so rewarding after it. But I think that's kind of the fun part about gravel, is all the, like, it's so different. Like, there's so many different options and you never know what to expect. And so.
Yeah. So what's something that you're learning or you're kind of discovering right now? What you know, as you're getting on your commute and you're thinking about your next, the next thing you're going to do or ride, what are some of the things that you're learning right now that you think might be helpful for those getting into gravel or those just, you know, like yourself that are continuing to learn?
So Prairie Bloom had a crit clinic, and I went to that, and I don't have any, I'm intimidated by like racing, but if there's ever clinics for like starting riders, I think it was so beneficial in like cornering and how to like control your bike. I really appreciate that they did that clinic and that I got to go and just learning, like, cause cornering and descending when especially in gravel and everything, those are the areas where I don't have the most confidence. I think a lot of new riders don't, newer riders. I don't know if I can still call myself a new rider, but
yeah, no, I think after you're on the podium, you don't get to be a new rider anymore. You're a pro. You're a growing pro.
Yeah. So that was really beneficial. That's where I want to improve, can keep on improving, but just, I think a lot of it comes with confidence and practice, but the crit clinic was really beneficial for my turning, my cornering.
Well, that's something I would say, much like you, I am incredibly intimidated by crit riding as well. And I've been looking to go to one of those clinics as well, because these are put on by, they're on Tuesdays. Shoot, I'll try and put it in the notes if I can. But it's every Tuesday, and they've got beginner clinics, and I hear it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I haven't been to one of the races. They just had a and I should know, she's really great. Jolene, I don't know. She came and did it for Prairie Bloom, and that was really beneficial to hear her from her, and she took some practice. But I haven't been to one of the races, but I want to at least go watch because they sound pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many really strong riders in this area. It is kind of like it is kind of intimidating. But I think I've got one of the folks that's been on the podcast, and I think we'll hopefully have him again, is Jonathan Waite. And I know that he's really big into crit racing and things like that. And he's described it. Although I've teased him that I'm like, why would I do NASCAR on a bike? But I think controlling your speed and being comfortable in those turns, and I mean, just the fitness benefits, you know, you don't, there's so much value that you can get out of trying new things. It doesn't mean that you have to be at the beginning of it. Like, it's kind of that learner mindset and growing, you know, is just trying all the different things that you can. So sounds like you're a good example of that. And
yeah. Give it a try. I'm always for trying something new.
Well, so I guess to kind of wrap this up, because this has been fantastic. Tell me about, like, do you have like any bucket list rides and things like that you're looking at doing, or maybe just goals this year? Tell us a little bit about your calendar. And so if people wanted to meet you afterwards or whatever, if you're up for that, you don't have to disclose anything if you're like, and except that maybe you're a private person or whatever. Oh. But if there's something where that you're going to be at that maybe you'd love to have people say hi to you, or a big goal that you have, I'm interested in what you're doing.
Oh, man, I'm not great at planning ahead. So I have like nothing on the calendar for sure. Nothing in pen, everything's in pencil, but hopefully the Glenwood gravel grinder. Is it grinder? Glenwood? Yes. The Glenwood grinder. Yes. So I'd love to that one for sure. And then, I don't know what else. Personally, I want to write before the season's over. I want to do 100 miles somewhere, like my first full 100 miles ride. That's like before the summer's over. So
would you want to do that like one effort, or are you thinking about bike packing? How do you want to do 100 miles?
Like a one day, like an, at once. Yeah. Yeah. Like a hundred. I don't know. Yes. I'd like to get that just to say that I did it.
Yeah. Supported or unsupported? Are you looking for an event where you can, you know, have some aid stations already set up around you, or are you more like, no, I just want to be able to just go out and do it? And
I think unsupported on just for the first one, maybe if I love it and feel more confident, but just to get to that goal of training.
Yeah. I always kind of call it the Casey's Century. You just like pull up a map and see where all the Casey's are in different towns. You're like, and you just create a route that seems doable, but hits enough Casey's that you can feed yourself or whatever.
Yes. That's perfect. Yes.
Oh man. I believe there's an Instagram account that's like the Casey Racing Team, which I don't think is actually associated with Casey's specifically. And for those that maybe someone's ended up on this podcast and is not from Iowa, Nebraska, but Casey's is the local fuel gas station chain that I think is just ubiquitous here. It's like a 7-Eleven in some areas.
Yeah. What is your go-to Casey's grab when you're on a bike?
So that's a really good question. We should get you you make a great podcast host. But so when it comes to drink, if I, you know, obviously water or whatever, but I, if I need a little caffeine, I tend towards the coconut buys, kind of like those. Those are my favorite. They usually have them anymore. In terms of food, I'm a burrito guy. So if given a choice, if I'm going on a long ride, I'm more likely to stop at a Taco Bell than at the Casey's, but I definitely would not turn down pizza, breakfast pizza, biscuits and gravy. I think I've done. What else? I usually stick to like real food when I stop at a Casey's, and don't usually do like chips or other things, and kind of like allow my normal nutrition plan, my gels and my sodiums and sodium tablets or whatever that I've got kind of planned out for my nutrition. So I tend towards like, grabbing something that's kind of real food when I hit a Casey's.
That's I always go for, I always want, I always hope there's coconut water because that's nature's Gatorade. I always hope there's a coconut water. Sometimes I'll, if they have some Coke, gotta go, I don't know, something in cycling about having a mini Coke that I guess they have those.
Yeah, that little bit, that just a little bit of caffeine, a little bit of sweetness, just enough to kind of like, but not too much to like, you know, I don't know about the belly ache, or I don't know if you can do like the Red Bulls and the I mean, it seems like there's so many like 200 milligram, 250 milligrams of caffeine sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I want a coffee before I ride, but not the whole Red Bulls. I can really do that, but always hope for a coconut water, and then I do go for the chips. But I always also like to have those like the fig bars with me, and then the gels and stuff.
Oh, like Fig Newtons or
it's like they're like a fig bar. It's like a Fig Newton, but there's like another brand. I don't know. It's like Nature's Bakery Fig Bar. I don't know. I think that is what it is because I can see it in our cabinet.
Yes, I have had those. Those are great. Those are fantastic. Well, Hannah, this has been so much fun to get to know you, get a little bit of your experience and everything. Thank you so much. We'll post this up here as soon as we can, and thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Catch you later.